Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Indeed, the fastest 3 hours on Internet Talk Radio is right here on the Rod Eccles Show, powered by Zinc Media Arts. Here it is on Friday.
Welcome to Freedom Friday.
Yes, it is Friday, September number 7 in the year of our Lord 2018. And it is a beautiful day here in the northern climes of New England as I broadcast to you live from the Bunkerize studio located somewhere in the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. And of course, on Fridays, we always take things a little bit lighter. Sure, we talk about some of the weightier stuff like we did the last couple hours, but we also talk about some fun stuff like we did the last couple hours too. Stuff that we don't normally bring up during the rest of the week. Just because we're happy, it's the weekend. And we're happy that it is President Donald J. Trump that is currently in office. Well, not everybody's happy, obviously. It is just... Sometimes their anger is just hilarious. On the left. Folks... I think I'm learning this. There's a pattern. I think I know that the people in Washington, they get a heads up on what the information is, especially the economic information is going to be when it's released on Friday. They know about it as early as Tuesday or Wednesday. And if you notice when I think that when, now this is only anecdotal, I'm not going to take the time to go back and research every freaking week over the past 2 years, but it's only anecdotal, but every time these leftists seem to ratchet up their anger, it usually means that there's really good news coming Friday. Well, we notice, we had a number of people on the left ratcheting up their anger, like Cory Booker and at the Kavanaugh hearings. We had, Elizabeth Warren on the faux war path the other day. And today, what do we get? We get, as the British would say, we get some brilliant news. Economy adds more jobs than expected. I love how they always say more jobs than expected. Well, because these people really don't want the economy to grow. As long as the economy is doing well, it means two things to them. One, it's going to be more difficult to get voted into office to bring in some sort of alternate plan that's going to devalue and destroy the economy. And two, it's going to make it more difficult to get rid of Trump. So they're unhinged. And every week they try to compress the good news. Oh, more jobs than expected. Oh, but notice whenever we don't hit the mark. Oh, we expected 200,000 jobs, only got 190,000. It's not as good as everybody thought. It's only 190,000. Wait a minute. Now, I remember during Obama, the expectations were so damn low that whenever they did come out with numbers that, exceeded expectations, it was all over the place. They talked about it for a week. And now we've got these high expectations, and when it even exceeds those, they don't want to talk about it. Economy adds more jobs than expected in August. Now, remember how they kept saying, well, wages aren't keeping up. Nobody's getting a raise. Raises have been depressed. Well, wage growth hits post-recession high. Now, folks, I've been telling you since nearly day one of the Trump presidency, it's going to take some time. When the jobless numbers were starting to dive, I reminded you, okay, wages are going to go up. They're starting to creep up now, but they're going to go up. But it's going to be a natural process. It isn't going to be some fake or forced process like the Democrats want. $15 an hour. Notice how all of a sudden now, there isn't a whole hell of a lot of talk about a $15 minimum wage. Why? Because real jobs are coming in that are paying a hell of a lot more than that. You know, all those jobs that Obama once said, oh yeah, these jobs going away, not coming back. Those jobs are coming back in spades, folks. You know, nearly a million manufacturing jobs that Obama said were gone, poof, never to come back, are back. We've got an industry that cannot find enough help. Not qualified help. They can't even find enough people to train. And I mentioned this yesterday, the construction industry. They cannot find enough people to train in these sort of trades. So forget the fact that, you know, that there's not enough qualified people out there. They can't even get people to come into the trade that to be qualified. And we're talking about jobs that are paying, you know, starting out at $20-$25 an hour. Well, I know part of it's, you know, because it's manual labor and everybody's, told you got to go to college in order to get a good job. You know, those aren't good jobs. The funny fact is that you will have somebody who does these manual dirty jobs, as some people call them, that will make more than a college-educated person with a four-year degree. That's the truth. You can go out there and look it up. It's the truth. Now, trust me. I've done commercial construction. It can be tough on the body. Yeah. But there is something gratifying in seeing something that you helped build and seeing it stand year, you know, still standing years later. It is gratifying. I can't imagine what it would, you know, be like. Well, I'm not going to get up there, but, you know, building a skyscraper, you know, I'm sure they're all gone now, but can you imagine the pride of the construction workers that built the Empire State Building? Yeah, I helped build that. Isn't that cool? That's cool. I like talking to people that have built something that is beautiful and stands the test of time. They can give you, you know, I've talked to some people around here who've built certain things. You know, I haven't, you know, my uncle long passed away. You know, he did a lot, helped build a lot of projects in the greater Buffalo area that are still standing today. I'm talking major public works stuff, you know, infrastructure. And the pride that he would exude from having been a part of that. I mean, my little, you know, two-year construction stint is nothing compared to what people have been doing, you know, just around here, you know. I can go over to it's not college, it's now a university, Franklin University. It used to be Franklin College. And see the pride and have pride of seeing what I helped build over there. It's an amazing economy. Now, you know, this is why woodworkers, this is why they like doing what they do. And because it's something that they, once they get finished, they did it with their own hands. They created it. I mean, they did it. And if you walk into one of these, you know, these furniture galleries or it's hard to get the pictures in your head from pictures online. But if you walk into a furniture gallery, now, I'm talking about custom furniture now. I'm not talking about going into your major, you know, discount furniture store. But you go into a store where, you know, everything's made out of solid wood, and you look at the price. Well, $2,000 for a dining table that can seat four people and it doesn't include chairs? Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of work and pride that goes into that, a lot of time. So even that $2,000 might actually be a bargain because that thing is going to be a future antique. This is going to be stuff that you could pass down to your grandkids. This is, modern antiques are still being made today. Of course, obviously they're not antiques because they're not old enough, but they will be. This is partly why we are so fascinated by antique furniture. Not only is it beautiful, but it's well constructed, and you could see the pride that was put into those. Whenever I build something out of wood, you know, I'm just an amateur wood, you know, home woodworker, and I make something, and I look at it when it's done, and I'm like, I made that. There is a tremendous sense of pride in it because you did it. So this is, but you don't get this, you know, it's great. And you may have a sense of pride. I'm not saying that every profession doesn't have the same sense of pride. I don't think they do, actually. But it's, you know, you can have a sense of pride being a part of a team that made and created a program that works. That everybody's starting, like an app. You know, you can have a sense of pride. But I don't think it's the same. You know, I've written books and articles, and I have a sense of pride of that people read these things, and some of them go near viral, and lots of, and I have a sense, but it's not the same sense of pride of actually building something. For high school kids, I highly recommend that if you want to save on college tuition, that you encourage your child to go into a trade. They're going to be able to make a lot of money. They really are. And not all trades are hard on the body like commercial construction. Not all of them are that hard. You know, I don't hear of electricians often complaining about body aches and pains because they're not doing a lot of heavy lifting like a construction worker will. But those are things that we need. You're not going to have an internet if you don't have tradespeople who can put it all together. They're just as important as the programmer. Probably more important, because a programmer only comes into play after everything is built. So a lot of these kinds of jobs, these blue-collar jobs, are coming back. And oftentimes employers are finding it hard to find not only qualified people, but even just finding people to train for some of these jobs. Because we had a president for 8 years that wanted this stuff to go offshore for whatever reason. I guess he just thought everybody was going to go to college and be ultra smart and do all kinds of ultra smart types of things. Let me tell you, construction workers aren't dumb. They're math wizards. Do you realize that, you know, even just building a house, it takes a lot of math. And a lot of times that math has to be done on the fly. It's not something that's always written down in a blueprint. They got to figure, okay, this is how it's got to go together or how it's got to look, but how are we going to put it together? Because a blueprint only tells you what goes where. It doesn't tell you how to do it. So they got to come up with all the, okay, we got to have this angle and this angle and this multiple angle, and you got to cut it here and got to measure this. And they got to do all that math on the fly. And especially now, they can't lollygag. I mean, if you know, you go to construction, you can always figure out just by watching the workers if it's a government project or not. If it's a government project, you will see a bunch of people standing around. If it's a private project, you will see nobody standing around. See, a government project doesn't matter. I mean, you got some construction people that they only do government projects, so it doesn't matter how long it takes them, unless they put it in their contract. It's got to be done by, you know, a specific point in time. Otherwise, no, it doesn't matter. Private projects, on the other hand, they've got to get this project done on time, on budget, so they can move on to the next one, because that's how they make their money. there's a big difference. And there's no time to waste. There's no time to take 2 hours to figure out how to cut an angle. Not a lot of talk. There's like, okay, we got to figure this out and figure it out now. And within 10 minutes, the saws are humming and the hammers are hammering again. That doesn't come from stupid people. Just saying. And so this is why also these people are in demand and why their incomes are so high. You know, you ask yourself, well, why is, you know, this house is like, you know, it's less than 2,000 square feet, but it's $400,000. Well, there's a lot of labor that goes in there, and the labor is not necessarily cheap, but it is well worth it. Because you get a good carpenter, and you're not going to have any problems in the future that you're going to come back and repair it. It's going to stand the test of time. You go out and hire a cheap carpenter that isn't really good at what he does, and you're going to be back within a couple of years repairing what he did. So good qualified people and well-trained people, they're in demand. And it doesn't matter the blue-collar industry. They're all in demand. That's the whole point of having a diverse economy. And so trying to shove your kid into college when they don't want to go to college, parents, stop it. Or just stop it. Now, obviously, there are certain industries or professions where you need college education. But that's not for every kid. If your kid likes building stuff, then by all means, direct him into a trade that is related to that. They won't have to go to college, but I guarantee you they'll start their life off faster than the college student. Why? Because the trade kid is starting to earn top dollar by the time he's 20. College student is still in college spending gobs of money at the age of 20. And when they get out, because they really don't have any experience, so when they're 22, they don't have any experience, so they're already behind the eight ball. Now they got all this debt that they have to pay. You know, college debt. And they really don't start making any real money in most college professions, as it were, until they're at least 28 or 30. By that time, the trade person is at the top of his game. And if you're in some sort of other, well, like medical profession, you're still, even at 30, you're still not done with your education. And that's for stuff like that, that is fine. Because they'll make it up in the end. But a lot of, you know, you get a business degree, that's worthless. It's useless. It honestly is. So stop forcing your kids to go to college if they don't want to go. Well, we're just only trying to give them, you know what? You're not trying to do anything for them, but trying to live your life through them. You're a lawyer. Great. Your kid doesn't want to be. Stop forcing him to be a lawyer. You're a doctor. Great. You love it. That's not where your kid's heart is at. You know, and it's not a disgrace to you if your kid wants to become a carpenter and you're a doctor. Why would people even think that? It's awful. But anyway, this is the wage growth has hit its highest post-recession high, meaning people are getting raises, substantial, real wages that exceed the inflation rate. Well, I mean, it's not too difficult. Inflation is still very low. That's the other thing that they cannot stand on the left. Because usually when you have this artificial inflation of wages, you get inflation. As I've explained it very simply before, and I'll do it again as quickly as I can. Here's how you keep inflation under control. You let the natural process take hold. You increase your sales. Why? Because, well, your sales start to go up because people have some money to spend. So now you need to produce more of that product or service. So you have to hire more people. But their salaries and wages are covered by the increased sales. So there's no need to raise your prices. And that continues on for a while. And then it gets to the point where you start finding, well, it's difficult to hire somebody. And now you start to get what they call employment thievery. Where an employee says, you know what? I wasn't even looking, but the company B over there said they'd give me a $5 an hour raise. And that offer looks really good doing exactly the same thing I'm doing here. What can you do for me to keep me here? And the company says, well, if you stay, I can give you, $350. Okay, I'll stay. Again, that increase now is now covered by all the increased sales that people are having. So price, there is no pressure to raise prices to cover the increased wages. Now, here's how it's done artificially. They force a bunch of money into the system. A bunch of people all of a sudden get a job. So, but there still isn't matching sales yet. Now, in order to reach all those, because hey, they're gearing up, because they know that the future sales are coming, so they're gearing up for it ahead of time. But in the meantime, they've got to pay these people now. We got to raise prices. Well, that puts off the increased sales because now the prices are more. So now you get inflation, and people's wages don't necessarily keep up with inflation. They may get a 3% raise over the year, but inflation is 4%. When you do it naturally, over the year, their wages may go up that same 3%, but inflation is only 2%. Because there's a natural progression, and companies are not being forced to hire early. They hire to keep up and to expand. That's it. Increase sales, increase income to the company, pays for all that new payroll. The other model, they try to force it. They staff up, can't afford it, got to raise prices to afford it. That slows the economy down because nobody can afford the new prices. That's artificial. That's succinctly put. I mean, there's a lot of nuances on both sides of that, but it's the basics of it. And this is simple stuff you learn in Economics 101 in high school, folks. And I often ask people, you know how many economists have never read the book Wealth of Nations? So-called, I never read it. Not even the first paragraph? No, never even heard of it, man. I'm not an economist, and I've read it. It's an amazing piece of work. And it stands the test of time because it's true. But if you've never... I know it's a long tome, and it can be boring, and it's going to take you a while to read it. And you may have trouble understanding some parts of it. I know I did. But you can get through it. Even if it takes you, I didn't read it in one sitting. I didn't sit down and I didn't even, it took me about 3 months to read it. But it's important information. You want to talk about a college education, you can get one by reading one book. And trust me, once you understand even half of what's in there, now, think of your current job. Once you understand half of what's in that book, your value at your company that you're working for now is going to go up because you're going to be able to use that knowledge in your job. Just saying. Just giving you a little bit of extra college knowledge. Stuff that they're not teaching in college anymore. That's the other advantage you're going to have. You're going to know stuff that these kids are going to school for, spending a ton of money on, and not learning. I would be a little pissed if I was a parent paying for that.
Warning. Listening to The Rod Eggles Show by the Idiot Left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Now, we've come to the part of the program where I bring you today's holidays. Now, there is a plethora of them today, so I'm going to, plus I got a bunch of other stuff that I need to cover before the end of the program. So we're just going to, I'm not going to give you huge explanations on any of these holidays today. They're, most of them are pretty much self-explanatory, but here's today's holidays for September number 7. It is National Acorn Squash Day. So, yeah, you celebrate by eating some acorn squash. It's good stuff, by the way. If you bake it, with a little bit of butter and maple syrup on it, yeah, that's a New England way to do it. Acorn Squash Day. It's also Google Commemoration Day. Don't care. Grandma Moses Day. You have to look up yourself who Grandma Moses was. You might be a little bit surprised and shocked about the whole story behind her. It is also National 401k Day, also known as National 401k Day. I don't know what the difference is. It's observed the first Friday after Labor Day. It's a day for saving. You know, you celebrate your labor, now let's celebrate your savings. National 401k Day. It is also National Feel the Love Day. Can you feel the love? Can you feel all the wonderful love? It's also National Beer Lovers Day. Another day for beer. Well, Americans do love their beer. And it's also National Food Bank Day. Now, don't donate any beer to a food bank, but please donate some real food to your local National Food Bank. It is also National Grateful Patient Day, as opposed to Ingrateful Patient, I guess. It's also National Lazy Moms Day. So moms, you have a day today where you can be lazy, I guess. Say today's Lazy Moms Day if you're lazy today. Don't do the laundry, don't do anything. It's also Salami Day. Of course, it was created by the Salami Appreciation Society in Henrico, Virginia in 2006. This is when this day was created. Salami. So if you love salami, today's how you celebrate your salami. It's also National Neither Snow Nor Rain Day. This has to do with the U.S. Postal Service. Neither rain nor snow nor dark of night shall keep them from their appointed rounds, right? Today to celebrate your postal worker. Basically your mailman, the guy who's actually on the road, street, walking everywhere. And it is National Wear Teal Day. The color teal. In a shirt, tie, dress, what have you. Put on some teal. Well, I know everybody's off already at work, but today's a day where you put on some teal. So those are your holidays for today, September number 7th. Now, please go out and celebrate responsibly. As it were, we have this story here. I know everybody's kind of talking about it. But evidently, the nose ring wearing, beard sporting CEO of Twitter has been the first to, I guess, actually ban Alex Jones for life from its platform. Yes, Twitter, briefly establishment media ahead of Alex Jones blacklisting. By the way, you know, doing this only makes the guy more famous. I mean, anybody see the altercation between him and Senator Marco Rubio the other day? It was funny. Senator Rubio didn't think it was funny. And I'm sure at that particular moment in time, Jones didn't think it was funny either. But later, of course, you know, he says, well, he has to act that tough because he's gay. I'd never heard that rumor before. Anybody else heard that rumor about Marco Rubio being gay? I mean, I know he's a good-looking guy, and he's, you know, his coif is always nearly perfect, but that doesn't mean he's gay. But in any case, that's what Jones said of him. I don't buy it or believe it, but frankly, I don't care. But that's how Jones reacted to the altercation between him and Rubio. Twitter's appears to have notified a number of establishment media publications ahead of its permanent ban of Alex Jones, while neglecting to inform the conservative media. Now, why would they do that? If this is not a cabal, folks, I don't know what is. Hey, CNN, we're going to ban Alex Jones for life. Just thought we'd give you a heads up. And Fox News is saying, okay, they notified, you know, MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC. We didn't get notified. That's basically what happened. So a tweet from CNN's Oliver Darcy was published at 4:45 Eastern Time, coinciding precisely with Twitter publicly announcing the ban. CNN could not have written the article beforehand unless Twitter notified them of its decision in advance. So Twitter, folks, imagine this. One news organization, now whether or not you like Jones or not, it's irrelevant. Alex Jones is part of the news media. You have one news outlet going to war with and trying to get another news outlet banned. Really? Does anybody else see a problem with this? And they gleefully put it out there. Alex Jones and InfoWars have been permanently banned from Twitter. Now, I don't know what this means about, you know, some of the, like, one of his proteges. I don't know what it means for the rest of them on Twitter. But, you know, if they're connected to InfoWars, I'm going to guess that they're probably, if they haven't already been banned, that they're on the way out. Now, these people have some very big following. Now, Twitter safety issued a tweet. Today, we permanently suspended Real Alex Jones and InfoWars from Twitter and Periscope. We took this action based on new reports of tweets and videos posted yesterday that violate our abusive behavior policy in addition to the account's past violations. Wait. Don't leftists do this exact same thing? You may not engage in the targeted harassment of someone or incite other people to do so. We consider abusive behavior an attempt to harass. What about threatening people's lives? I mean, that's actually a crime. But these people are getting away with it because they're on the left. But somebody even comes close, that doesn't threaten anybody's life, but just, you know, just says nasty stuff about somebody. Nope, you're on the right. You got to go. Now, Darcy, by the way, is a CNN activist reporter who repeatedly agitated for Twitter to purge Alex Jones. Now, there's a problem with that sentence. He's a CNN activist reporter. Reporters are not supposed to be activists. Reporters are just supposed to report the news. They should not be, if they're being an activist, they're not reporting the news. It's an oxymoron. If you're an activist, you're not a reporter. If you're a reporter, you're not an activist. You can't be both. The descriptions and meanings of those words are diametrically opposed to one another because an activist doesn't care what the news is. They just have an agenda. A reporter doesn't care about what the agenda is. They just report the news. How do you coincide those two things? You only report the activist agenda news? Your agenda? Is that an activist reporter? That's not news. That's opinion. And yes, Alex Jones has a lot of opinions. No, I'm not a big supporter of Jones. I rarely watch or reference any of his material, but sometimes I do reference his material because he leads me to real information that nobody else has, or at least is reporting, which I find very interesting. So if Jones, and you know, he'll reference other places, and you follow the paper trail, you follow the internet trail of what Jones is saying, and then you find, wait, oh, there's a story here, and a story here, from more reputable sources even, but nobody else is talking about it. Jones did. Now that voice is trying to be, they're trying to silence that voice. You understand this, folks? Like Jones or not, he does lead you to real stuff. And now that voice is being silenced on a platform. Trust me, it won't be the last one. Twitter may be the first to just come out and say and tell everybody ahead of time, well, almost everybody ahead of time, that they're going to do it, so they can coordinate an announcement. At the exact same time that Twitter is saying, yeah, we just suspended Alex Jones, CNN is putting out a tweet. Yeah, Alex Jones got tweeted. Yeah, got booted. Woohoo! Now they'll move on to other platforms. Dangerous stuff, folks. Do you understand why I'm saying that the media is our biggest enemy? They're our biggest problem. It isn't the swamp. Do you know how fast we could drain the swamp if we actually had a vast news media that just reported the news and the facts, no matter what they were, no matter if they liked it or not? You know how fast we drain the swamp? It's hard to drain the swamp, not because these people are entrenched by years and years and years of being in D.C. No, it's not their incumbency. That's not the overwhelming obstacle. The overwhelming obstacle is that they have massive protection and massive support from a willing and complicit media that is willing to spread their propaganda. That's all it is. The media, supposed to be a quasi-fourth branch of government, is failing to do its job. And when they get another news person, another person in the media banned from someplace, they cheer about it. That should send shivers up everybody's spine. Because trust me, Alex Jones isn't the biggest, baddest thing out there, but he's not a little guy. And if they can ban Alex Jones, who's got a big voice, a big mouth, and a big audience, they can ban anyone. And if you think the answer is having government get involved and regulate it so that can't happen again, oh, no, 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 no. That's not the solution. That's only going to compound the problem. Honestly. So Twitter permanently bans Alex Jones, citing abuse. I don't watch enough of it. I'll admit it. I don't watch enough of Alex Jones to know what kind of abuse they're really talking about. I know he's a blowhard. I've watched enough minutes of his videos and read enough of his commentary to understand he's a big blowhard. And in some respects, you might even construe him to be a slight bully. Yeah, okay. Big deal. Anyways, speaking of big deal, what's this thing with Elon Musk? Now, folks, Elon Musk evidently did a video interview. And in that interview, he spouted off some strange stuff, and he smoked what appeared to be weed on video. So the Tesla stock has tanked 9%. Now, here's a little thing. Elon Musk is not stupid. And I don't think he's going off the deep end. I don't think he's going crazy. Here's what Elon Musk is having, his Tesla products are having trouble expanding their capacity to manufacture. He keeps getting orders. They can't keep up with the orders. But he's having a hard time getting the money necessary in order to expand production capacity. So for a number of different reasons. So what Elon wants to do is he wants to get the stock down. Now, I don't know if this is illegal or not. It probably, depending on how you do it, it can be illegal. But I think he wants to suppress the stock so he and people who support him can buy more of it and get full control of the company. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case and that ends up happening in the next year or two. I'm telling you folks right now, the guy is he's dumb like a fox. Besides, do we even know if it's really weed? And he's doing it in California. Look, you know, I can't believe there are people out there that are upset with Elon Musk doing weed when we went through in 2 decades of even CEOs knowing, being known CEOs to do coke. 80s and 90s. That was a big drug back then. We know all these financial people, financial wizards and CEOs and CFO, they were all having coke parties. We know this. Some of them got busted for it. And none of them, none of their companies seem to suffer. So Elon Musk gets on video and smokes something that's legal, I think, in California now. He can do that legally, right? I'm not familiar with the weed laws in California. I don't use this stuff, so I don't really care. You know, I'll stick with my cigars. But him evidently smoking what appears to be weed in a video is going to cause his stock to tumble 9%? Really? And people don't think that he's not doing this on purpose? Maybe I'm giving up his plans and I should probably shut up and just let him go ahead and do it. But, I mean, I think it's hilarious. After we come off of a decade of excess, nearly two decades of excess of, and then everybody went from coke. Then the younger, you know, the millennials, they tended to shy away from coke, not as much as people like to make you believe that they did, but they tried to shy away from it, and they put the blame on what? Energy drinks. You remember that was the whole big thing, you know, energy, especially energy drinks, you know, loaded with caffeine in alcohol. I remember at one point in bars and clubs, the big drink was not Jack and Coke, but was Jack and Red Bull. And then there you had municipalities started passing laws. You know, you couldn't get certain kinds of, you know, caffeinated beverages, overly caffeinated beverages. You know, they started passing laws again, and especially in college campuses were banning Red Bull and stuff. Yeah, there were even bars that were banning the, you know, we can't serve, you know, Red Bull and any alcoholic beverage anymore. And some of that was due to regulation. Some of it was due just to the bar owners, you know, protecting their own little asses because they didn't want to get sued later on. But that's ridiculous. So, you know, it's okay to snort the white powder. But it's not... And everybody knows that everybody was doing it. I never did it. I know a lot of people that I've worked with over the years that have done it. And most of them didn't get hooked on it. I know we see all these movies where these people, they can't function without it. Believe it or not, now crack is addictive, but regular cocaine is not that addictive. I hate to tell, but that's the truth. I mean, it is addictive, but it can be addictive like alcohol or cigarettes or something. But it's not overly so because they people use it as a recreation and they keep it using it as a recreational drug like alcohol. And most of them that have used it, they don't use it during work hours. You know, it's a party thing. Now, personally, yeah, I mean, you know, I bought into the belief that it was highly addictive. And if you used it once, man, you could get hooked on it for the rest of your life and then you could die from it. And I never touched it. So that kind of fear mongering worked on me. I never touched it. But I've worked with a lot of people who have. And I personally know at least one CEO of a major New England based company that did it. And you're going to be upset that Elon Musk apparently smokes weed? Where the stock tumble? He did it on TV, Rod. I don't know. Maybe if the CEO had snorted coke on video, that stock would tumble too. Somehow I doubt it, but yeah, I guess it could. But you already know that it's being done. So, I mean, it's kind of hypocritical. Because just because you know it's being done, it doesn't bother you. But once you see it, now that bothers you. I'm not buying it. I'm not. I think there's a plan afoot with Tesla. Just saying. Just saying. Trump's tight labor market wins U.S. construction workers higher wages, by the way. This is a Breitbart story. Remember what I just told you about, you know, construction and other things like that? With 243,000 open jobs in construction nationwide, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, more than 500 listed by local ABC members, South Florida has become a workers' market, says Peggy Marker, president of Fort Lauderdale-based Marker Construction. The employees are in a position where they are interviewing us as much as we are interviewing them. As a result, 95% of those who come to ABC are looking to learn a trade, are matched with a job, experienced or not. The reason is not 100% is that not everybody that walks through the door is serious. That's how acute the shortage is. Basically, if you're serious walking through the door in a construction trade, especially in Florida right now, you're going to get a job. They're going to train you. You got workers, potential employees, who are interviewed. This is the way I've always conducted interviews. When I've gone into an interview, I interviewed the company as much as that company was interviewing me. I mean, I have told potential employers a number of different things by not taking their job offers. You're not ready for me yet. Or I don't think you can afford me. The position that you're offering at the pay, you can't afford me. I've told people this. It doesn't make me arrogant. It makes me confident in my experience and my worth. And there was one company that I told, you're not ready for me yet. I remember the interview. Because I was actually giving them some free advice. And, you know, you really need to do this, this, and this first. You're not ready for me yet. Or anybody like me. You know, just 4 months ago, they contacted me. And the first line of the email is, I think we may be ready. Are you willing to talk again? Now, of course, I said no. I mean, I'm glad that they've gotten to a point where they could do such a thing. But I wasn't interested. But the point, they reached back out to me. So sometimes knowing your worth and being firm in it is not a bad thing. So yeah, every time you go into interview, you need to interview the company as much as they are. Because let me tell you something, if you interview them as much as they're interviewing you, oh, they're going to think that you're really, really good and interested, and they're really going to want you. That's going to make your personal value go through the roof. Just don't walk in and say, yeah, I'll take anything, because they know they got you. But if you say, well, you know, I'm not sure if you can afford me, or are you sure you're ready for me in this position? They're going to look at you, what? Nobody says that. You're not here to interview me. I'm here to interview you. No, you should be interviewing them too. That's the way it works. And again, with the construction trades, I'm telling you right now, I mean, some of these, there are construction people that are going to be earning six figures out of this Trump economy. How many college degree jobs earn six figures? Not as many as you think. And you spent 4 or 6 years paying thousands of dollars to do that. And now it's getting to the point where people are actually paying you to learn how to do the job. Oh, yeah, we'll train you. And while you're being trained, you're going to get paid. Instead of you paying me, I'm going to pay you to learn. That's a beautiful thing, folks. That's a beautiful thing. You don't often get that in white-collar areas. If you do, the pay is so ridiculously low, nobody really wants to do that. But in any case, didn't get through even half the stuff I wanted to today, but we had a good time doing it and getting through what we did get through. But we're going to do it all over again next week, starting Monday morning at 9 a.m. where I'll try to bring you some more of this stuff and new stuff as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you back here on Monday. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out.